This is a CBC podcast.
Hey, I'm Tom Power, and welcome to the Q interview from CBC Podcasts and from Q on CBC Radio. How are you? Excited about this today. Maren Morris is on the show today. Maren Morris is probably one of the biggest country stars in the world right now. And she did something that very few artists have done, country artists have done. Kenny Rogers did it, I guess. Dolly Parton did it, I guess. Garth Brooks did it, kind of. The Dixie Chicks did it. She crossed over into pop music in a really big way. She had one of the biggest hit singles of the past 5 years. You know that song? Baby, why don't you just keep me in the middle? That one? That's her. Well, that's her and Zed. Anyway, somehow coming out of that massive pop success, she's gone back and still remained a country star. She's written a really great country album. I'm a big fan of her songwriting. I don't think she gets asked about songwriting enough, and I was happy to have her on to talk about it. But before we get to that, I'd like to welcome, as always, the pride and joy of Regina, Saskatchewan, producer Caitlin Swan. Did you see the little pieces of paper fly out of my hand?
Yeah, you're just ripping them like confetti.
I guess I don't smoke cigarettes.
Right, so you rip up tiny little pieces of paper and leave a mess everywhere.
Yeah, don't you have like a nervous tic?
I chip off my nail polish a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it takes so long to put nail polish on, it is such a shame. And I look at my hands, I'm like, oh, you nervous? Wreck.
Yeah, I mean, you can look down and see exactly how nervous you are, like a mood ring.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, oh, today I'm all right. My mental health is okay. My nail polish is intact.
And then some days you're like, oh, no.
I was like, oh, that's been a bad one.
You have a listener email for us.
I sure do. Okay. And you know what? A lot of mail that comes through is so great and so positive, but some of them are kind of creepy and cryptic. And so...
What?
I just think this is cryptic. Anyways, okay, I'm going to read it to you.
Is it like, I know where you live, kind of creepy?
There's been a few of those, but I try not to tell you about them for your mental health. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it is really quick. Hi, Tom. Would you like spaghetti or salmon for dinner tonight? Wink. What does it mean? I'm scared.
I'm kind of scared, too. And I don't know the person who sent this.
No.
Would you like spaghetti or salmon for dinner tonight?
Like, do you remember talking about that? Do you have an affinity for either of those things?
I'm not big on salmon.
See, that's what makes this scary. You're not... I don't know. So, okay. Like, let's treat this like it's a legitimate question. So then if you're not big on salmon...
Spaghetti?
You're going with spaghetti.
I feel like I just gave away like my PIN number or something like that, or like my secret code to my banking or something like that.
Right. It almost feels not wise to have answered this, but you did.
Yeah, I feel like that's my e-transfer password.
Yes.
And he said, yeah, okay. So the
it's either salmon or spaghetti.
Yeah. The security question is, would I rather blank or blank for supper? And he's like, I got it down to two. They're both S's.
Yes. It'll give you a wink at the end, a nice digital wink. So.
Well, love a creepy question. The answer is spaghetti. Send in your...
Creepy questions.
No, please send more normal questions to q@cbc.ca. How about you? Would you rather have spaghetti or salmon for supper?
Spaghetti. Salmon when I'm being good. I ate salmon last night.
Salmon.
I know. I just do it because I'm supposed to. It's expensive and it's nasty. But damn it if I'm not bloated this morning.
Drop us a line with your better salmon cooking for Caitlin. q@cbc.ca. Mm-hmm. Maren Morris, I tell the story in the interview that one time I went to a karaoke bar called Wannabes in Nashville. You ever been to Nashville?
No.
Beautiful place. One of my favorite cities.
I got the chicken.
Incredible. The hot chicken. Home of the hot chicken. And in Wannabes in Nashville, 4 times in 2 hours, I heard a woman, different woman every time, get up on stage and sing My Church by Maren Morris. Like, it was just the biggest karaoke song everybody wanted to do. Massive hit.
How's that one go?
Do I have to sing it?
Yeah, because I don't know.
This is another creepy question.
It makes it click for me when you sing it.
Can I get a hallelujah?
Oh, okay.
Can I get an amen?
I'm sorry. It's not clicking for me. But I bet a lot of people right now are saying, yes, I know that song.
It's a, yes, I guess that's my church.
Wah.
You know that
that's
one?
That's lovely. You got to do this now, karaoke.
Well, who's to say I wasn't up there for number five?
Yeah, that's true.
And then she had a massive hit with that song in the middle that I was singing earlier. Too much singing in this intro. And then she has this new record, which is a beautiful country album. I love talking to Maren Morris about songwriting. I don't think enough people talk to her about songwriting, so I was happy to do it. Her new album is called Humble Quest. It's out everywhere now. Here's my conversation with Maren Morris. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Tom?
I'm not too bad. How are you feeling now? Because this is sort of the last few moments where the record's yours before it goes out and sees everybody else. How are you feeling?
I am raring to go. These songs, this album has been done for a year. So I've lived with it long enough. It's time for it to get some, for it to be exposed to other air besides my car.
Is it a different record for you? Like, I was wondering a little bit about the pressures of making this record or the lack thereof. Because, you know, the first record comes out, or the first, I know there's a couple records before that, but the first record comes out, it has the really big hit on it. That kind of takes your career off, but it's still like, okay, first big hit, first big record. You know, the middle happens, it's this big crossover thing, even more people are looking at you. There's sort of an expectation to follow that up. Okay, well, now she's had that. Can she come back again? Then you put out the record after that. The Bones is a massive song, huge song. And it really feels like you did prove yourself. And how is it making a record without that pressure on you?
Definitely a lot more fun. I don't know. I feel like three has always been my lucky number. It was like my number in high school soccer. That number just always has felt special. And so I just have a good feeling about this one. And like you mentioned, you know, with the first album, you have no expectations. And, you know, I guess the old saying is like, you have your whole life to make your first record, and then you have a year to make your second. And it's true. Like with Hero, I made it from such a free place because there was no bar set yet. And then, you know, it was such an amazing year after that was released, and I got to achieve a lot of things with it, and, you know, win my first Grammy and play SNL and like get a first number one and all of those things. And then when it's time to make album two, yeah, you just have all these new expectations and pressures. And I think that's why so many artists are deathly petrified of the sophomore slump. And, but yeah, so there was a lot of anxiety around my second record release and that tour. So with this one, even though it was created during a pandemic and at a very uncertain time in history, I do feel like it's my lightest and freest record that I've made.
Well, it's funny to hear you talk about, like, it's funny to hear you in just that answer, like, look back a little bit about how, sort of the journey that your emotions and your expectations and all that stuff have taken throughout these records, because it sort of reminds me of this album. Can we take a listen to a track off of it? I drove circles around this town, trying to ride circles around this town, trying to say something with me and something worth singing about. That is Maren Morris and Circles Around This Town from her new album, Humble Quest. So this is kind of what we're talking about. This is, what part of your life is this song about?
It's literally full circle, because I'm in the first verse talking about how I moved to Nashville from Texas 9 years ago in a really crappy, like, sight unseen Craigslist apartment. But it was affordable. I had two roommates I didn't know, and a car that had no AC. And it was, scrappy, a hustly time. And so I'm in that first verse, it's super autobiographical to my journey to Nashville, but it's definitely in the chorus, like, wraps up in this way where it's like, I guess you could say I've made it now, but I'm still searching and trying to aim for this like moving target that's ever changing. And I am constantly getting inspired by new things and discovering new things about Nashville. Like, I feel like when you tour as much as I have the last few years, you're never home and you never get to like really explore the town you live in anymore. And it just changed so much by the time the pandemic came around and touring was blown out for 2 years. So yeah, I think just kind of rediscovering my place in this community, this songwriting community, put some gas back in my tank. And I'm like always trying to like get that next song or beat the last one or impress my songwriter friends. And so I feel like that ended up being an inspiring way of looking at it. And almost, like you're never really reaching the mountaintop. It's like, it's ever changing and it just keeps getting more exciting.
Was that the goal? So, hold on. Where are you from in Texas?
I'm from Arlington, Texas, outside of Dallas.
How many there?
Well, it's huge now. There's probably like 2 million people that live there now because there's like the Cowboy Stadium is there. So it's really flourished over the last 10 or 15 years, but it was like pretty suburban when I was growing up there.
So when you told your buddies or even just people in your town, like, hey, I'm going to move to Nashville to be a songwriter. Was there a little bit of, yeah, okay, Maren, sure, I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
No, I think they were like, finally. because like, if you are new to my music or my story, I grew up in Texas. And when I was 10, I started touring and playing shows and honky tonks and bars around Texas. And so I was sort of like a child artist at a very young age. And I didn't move to Nashville until I was 23. But by the time I decided, okay, I'm going to save money so I can move to Nashville and be a songwriter, I think everyone around me, including my family, was like, yeah, like, what were you waiting for?
But that's, so I do know your story a little bit. And that's the part that I'm interested in, is that, you know, you're playing honky tonks, you're an artist. The decision that you want to be a songwriter, not a singer, not an artist, not a performer, you want to be a songwriter is an interesting one at that stage of your life to take on, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like I'm some old lady that needed to retire, but by the time I was 18 or 19, I was really tired from just playing shows every weekend in these bars while the rest of my friends were going off to college. I was homeschooled my senior year of high school because I was playing shows constantly. And so, yeah, I was burned out by the time I was 18, 19 years old. So it took me a few years of just deciding, okay, I miss this. I miss performing. I miss writing. And I moved to Nashville with no expectations or hopes of getting a record deal. I just wanted to sign a publishing deal and write songs for other artists. And I was, you know, mildly successful at it. Like I got a publishing deal a few months after I moved to Tennessee and I started writing with people and, you know, some of my demos on Music Row were beginning to get heard and they were like, who's the girl on this demo? Who's singing? And they're like, oh, it's this new writer in town, Maren Morris. And, I ended up getting to write with like Carrie Underwood and, you know, Kelly Clarkson recorded one of my songs and Tim McGraw. And so, you know, I had some success as a writer, but when I wrote my song, My Church, I think that's when I realized, oh my God, I cannot let anyone else have this.
Can we play a little bit of that song? Just take a listen to this.
Can I get a hallelujah? Can I get a
Maren Morris and My Church. We're here talking about Maren's new record, but a little bit about the journey to get there. Can I tell you a story? One time I was at a karaoke bar in Nashville. So we're in Toronto right now, but I was in a karaoke bar in Nashville on Broadway. And in 2 hours, I heard four different women sing My Church.
that's maybe my I made it moment. It was like when My Church became a karaoke song on Broadway.
so let's go back to what you were saying. So you're saying that, you know, you were writing songs for other people, Carrie Underwood, you know, and we all in Canada, we have a long history of Canadian songwriters who go down to do that, right? You know, Gordy Sampson did really well with it. We were just talking to my buddy Donovan Woods, who, you know, is down there right now doing really well. But I always find that moment really interesting, Maren, where the writer says, like, no, this one's for me.
Yeah. And that hadn't really happened before. I had no emotional ties to keeping any of my songs because I wanted to be, you know, like a Hillary Lindsay. I wanted to be a hit songwriter. I wanted to have number one parties and have people like sing songs I wrote on huge stages at, you know, the Grammys. And yeah, I don't know, something just in my heart clicked and knew that I would be really disappointed if I let my church be recorded by someone else. So I remember being very paranoid and not sending it to anyone via email. I would only play my church the demo for people in person where I could plug my phone in to their speaker. Like, I was so over the top paranoid.
Why? Because you were worried that someone was going to offer you like a truckload of money for it or something like that?
Well, I mean, I was just being ridiculous. But also, there have been a few instances just in town where an artist will hear a song that a writer actually wants to put out and they just know it's a bona fide hit. Yeah. And so they just go ahead and do it anyways. And, you know, I've seen friends of mine get burned that way. And, I just didn't want to be one of them. So yeah, I was super protective of that song in the beginning.
I mean, what a beautiful, rare thing for a song for you to be protective of, a song for you to be like, you know what, everyone get the hell away from me. And then for it to not just become a hit country song, but a hit country song, like almost we don't have hit country songs anymore. Like a hit country song that people who, like I like country music a lot, that's my thing. And most of my friends don't like country music. And all of my friends love my church. Like, it's one of those rare, you know what I mean? Like, what a validating thing for you. Do you learn something there about the importance of trusting your gut in an industry that can make you doubt yourself?
Yeah, that's kind of all I have. And I don't know if that's my upbringing or just things that I've learned over time, but I always listen to that voice because she's always right. And I've listened to her ever since. And it we started there, but it's never led me down the wrong path thus far. I just have to say, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but like hearing my church, I don't know. I've been a huge fan of Kathleen Edwards for as long as I can remember. And I wrote with her on my last record, but every time I think about the CBC, I think about her, I make the dough, you get the glory song.
Every rotation on the CBC.
Whatever the, yeah, oh my God.
Whatever the hell that really means.
Yes, I love that song.
The answer is, Maren, not a lot.
Yeah.
When did you get into Kathleen's music? I mean, I should point out for people who may not know, though I think everyone listening would know, Kathleen Edwards, straight out of Stittsville, Ontario, one of our best songwriters here in Canada. How did you, I've always wanted to ask you how you got into Kathleen's music, because I know you're a fan.
Yeah, a bandmate of mine when I was like a teenager in Texas turned me onto her music. I think it was her Failure record or Asking for Flowers. It was one of those. But it was one of her early records. And then when I moved to Nashville, I was breaking up with this guy that I'd been with for 5 years. And it was like my first real relationship and love. And but I was like finding so much independence in Nashville. So I just remember like being so heartbroken, but at the same time empowered. And she put her record, because I found it at Grimey's, a record store that we have here in Nashville.
Voyager,
yeah. And that's like her divorce record, I suppose. So Pink Champagne and House Full of Empty Rooms, like all those songs I would just ugly cry in my bathroom too during this breakup. And a lot of songs on my first record were about that relationship. So Kathleen really navigated me through some tricky emotions.
You know what? I'm glad Canada can help you out, Maren. Hope you enjoyed that product or service or album or show or bottled water. Here's more of my conversation with Maren Morris. I want to play the big pop hit.
Sure.
Take a listen. Baby. Maren Morris and Zed and the Middle, I mean, just again, like a massive song, a song it was really hard to avoid for a really long time. Like you could be at a pet store or a drugstore and it was going to be playing. Can you tell the story a little bit? Because as far as I know, because I've heard the demos of the other people who sang it. Like it was meant to go to like, they tried a bunch of people out and then you came in and just nailed it. What was that? Can you tell me that story?
Yeah, so that was a weird one. I had no prior knowledge to the fact that they were shopping that song around to several different artists. I just got the demo in my inbox one day from my manager, and I was on vacation actually in Mexico with my husband, and I listened to it through my phone and I heard Sarah's voice on it.
This is the writer of the song.
Yes, Sarah Ahrens. And she's an amazing songwriter, but she also is such, like, I'm obsessed with her voice. And I was hooked. I mean, that song just does that to you. It's like an earworm through and through. But they were like, would you want to do a vocal on this when you get back to town? And so I was like, I mean, this is already stuck in my head. So when I get back, I'll definitely take a whack at it. Who knows? I hadn't really done that before on a song I hadn't written. So yeah, I sent in my little vocal for it. I was like, I don't know if they're ever going to hear this, but they did. And a week later, Zed and his manager were coming to Nashville to record the real thing with me. And it just, it happened so quickly. Like we were in the studio recording it. A few weeks later, I was in his house studio listening to the final edit. And then they're like, cool. So next week we're shooting the video and it's going to premiere at the Grammy Awards and it's going to be in a Target commercial. And it just exploded. And it was the first time that a song like that of mine, because coming from country music, which is, I think, universally loved, but it's in some ways pretty niche, to be on a song like The Middle, just, it was being played when we were in Brazil and Argentina and in the UK, and it was everywhere. So it really opened up a lot of people that normally wouldn't listen to country music to my music. So it was kind of like the gateway drug to the rest of my music.
Is there anything challenging that comes with having a big crossover record like that?
I mean, I think there's maybe some expectation that, or I think a lot of people in country thought that I was going to be leaving for pop after that. But I feel like I'm always going to be pretty genre fluid with my music. And I have been from the get-go. So I haven't done another big like pop feature since, because I'll get sent them sometimes like, hey, do you want to do this with this DJ? And I say no, because the songs aren't as good as The Middle and what Sarah wrote. So until another one falls into my lap or I write one that could maybe work in both worlds, I don't know. It all comes down to the song for me. And I would have just felt like such an idiot to have passed that opportunity up. So I'm definitely glad I said yes, because I think about it in terms now where like I met Sarah through that song, it being nominated for like Record and Song of the Year at the next Grammys. And then I was writing with Sarah for my album Girl. And that's how I met Greg Kirsten, is through Sarah. And then Greg is producing Humble Quest. And so The Middle weirdly led me to this record being made.
Well, that's so funny. I mean, again, only in Nashville would people be like, well, she made a pop song, we're going to lose her to pop music. And then you turn it around and you sort of bring pop music back with you to Nashville and country music. And I think that's a good way to play another song off the record. Take a listen. I was so nice till I woke up. I was polite till I spoke up. Is That's Maren Morris with Humble Quest, the title track from her new album. I don't even know what I want to ask about this because of everything you told me so far. Like, what do I say here now? I'll say this. I'll say, why are you on a humble quest? Like, why are you on a quest to humility?
I have always, especially in the last few years, that has been very humbling. I think not just for me, but the entire world with this pandemic. I think getting to album three and solidifying my place in country music the way that I have, which is very much my own. It's not, I can't really compare it to anyone else's. So I feel like there's so much confidence and self-assuredness from feeling like you've made it and that you don't have to sweat everything now. Like you don't have to think about failing or saying yes to every single opportunity. Like I can kind of choose my own things now. I feel like with that comes the perception that you are getting a little too big for your britches or you're full of yourself because you are starting to believe in yourself. And in country music, especially because we're so about storytelling and staying close to our roots and our history and yada, yada, I feel like there's even more pressure to like be relatable and humble and down to earth. And I think that, and just accessible to the masses. So I just thought in an almost a humorous way, the word humble is used so threateningly against people. And I thought it was funny to kind of poke at that with this song, Humble Quest, which ended up being the album title. And I think it's, yeah, just me finding myself through a bunch of different messes. And some of it was like having a lot of my identity stripped away with touring being canceled for 2 years. Mm. Some of it was having my son at the beginning of COVID and like feeling like I was failing at that because I feel like every parent feels like they suck like in the beginning, especially you're just feeling your way through it. But yeah, there were a lot of, and then also my friend and my producer of my last two records, Busby, was diagnosed with stage 4 glioblastoma in 2019. And he passed away at the end of that year. And that was just so heart-wrenching for me to like lose not only someone I truly loved and cared about, but also was so wrapped into my sound.
Yeah.
So yeah, all of that going into this album felt like it was shaping me going forward and like my 30s and just, yeah, a lot of trauma, but also a lot of hope. And so, yeah, I think this chapter, this record is the most realistic snapshot of like what those 2 years for me were like. And I don't, you know, even though I'm tackling some heavy things on this project, I'm not like stewing in the darkness for too long. I didn't want to put something out that felt heavy and negative. Like I didn't think the universe needed more of that. Like I wanted to put something out that was hopeful and healing, because writing these songs during this truly brought me out of some dark places. And so I hope that that comes across through the songs.
I mean, Maren, like if there's one thing that I get from your music, and even maybe even just less me, but from watching people experience your music, like I said, in that karaoke bar, or, you know, just watching, being at parties when a song comes on, like just take My Church or take The Bones. Both songs are about, so My Church is about resilience. You can't have church without fire outside, right? You can't have solace without something, the opposite of solace. The House Won't Fall if the Bones Are Good. You can't have The House Won't Fall if the Bones Are Good if the house won't fall. Like if there's not a threat of the house falling. I mean, everything you're saying to me is is beautiful, and it just feels like it's always been part of your songwriting, that the world is, we're not going to deny that the world around us is falling apart, but that doesn't mean we can't find moments of beauty in it.
Yeah, that's so, what you just said is so profound. I feel like we are more resilient than we thought. And I think this pandemic, maybe in a silver lining way, forced all of us to stop and reassess what we're doing and if we love doing it. And I saw a lot of relationships. I think it just brought everything to the surface. I saw a ton of friends' marriages fall apart. I saw a ton of like pregnancies. I saw a ton of relationships get stronger. I saw a ton of people quit their jobs because they realized, I hate doing this. It was like a really formative time for the human race. And I feel like it proved how adaptable we can be as well. And we are survivalists by nature. And I think that, yeah, it definitely is. Also, becoming a parent, I feel like I'm seeing things, like they say, it's like you see it through your kids' eyes, and things that I used to not take a second look at, like I'm seeing through him now. And I just have so much more hope for humanity. Just kind of walking in his shoes for a second. And so I think that you're right. Like we're intrepid. Like we carry on no matter what, even if it's hellfire outside.
Maren, I'm a big fan of your music. Thanks for making the time. And it's a lovely record.
Oh, thank you so much. It was so nice to meet you.
The great Maren Morris, tremendous country songwriter. I'm so glad she didn't stick to just being a songwriter, though. Her new album is called Humble Quest. It's out everywhere now. If you want to get in touch with the podcast, q@cbc.ca is the way to do it. I always find that when CBC people like me say email addresses, we still say it like they've never been said before. If you want to get in touch with the podcast, q@cbc.ca is the way to do it. Rate and review and subscribe to the podcast, please. It really helps. We'll see you soon. Later on.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.